Well, it's the beginning of a new year. Actually, we're already 3 weeks into it. Can you believe it? And what often happens at the beginning of a new year is many people make New Year's resolutions. They resolve to do something new in their life, usually to change something for the better. And a new year naturally seems like a good time to start something new. Now, I've never been into making New Year's resolutions myself, but maybe I should. Or according to a 2007 study done by a professor at the University of Bristol, which involved 3,000 people, maybe I shouldn't. Because according to the research, 88% of those who make New Year's resolutions fail. But although they have a high failure rate, perhaps it's got something to do with the timing rather than the resolution itself. For example, if someone's really serious about changing something in their life, then why would they wait until the 1st of January to do it? Why wouldn't they do it straight away, no matter what the date is? Now, I'm sure this will come as no surprise to you, but there are no New Year's resolutions in the Bible, which doesn't mean we can't have them. It just means they're not a biblical idea. But even though there are no New Year's resolutions in the Bible, there are resolutions. And one of them is found in 1 Corinthians 2:2, which is our text for this morning. Let's have a look. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in Corinth, sometime after he left them in order to minister in other places. And he reminds them of a resolution he had while he was ministering to them. While he was with them, he was resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ crucified was going to be central to Paul's life and ministry among the Corinthian Christians. And we know from reading the rest of Paul's letters that this resolution wasn't just for his time in Corinth. Everywhere he went, wherever he was, Christ crucified was central to his life and ministry. Paul was resolved to keep Christ crucified central, and not just for a new year, for the rest of his life. And this resolution wasn't just for Paul. It's for us too. It's for all those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why should we resolve to keep Christ crucified central? Because it's how we're saved. Christ saved us by dying on a cross. He was crucified for us. Christ crucified is our only hope of salvation. It's the only way we can be made right with God, who's infinitely holy and righteous and just. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. And 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Jesus took our sins on himself. He suffered death so we could be forgiven. Christ was crucified to bring us to God, to bring us into a relationship with God. We need to resolve to keep Christ crucified central because it's our only hope of salvation and being with God forever. Some of you may remember the news story about the trawler that sank off the coast of 1770 back in October 2017. The trawler capsized in rough seas one night at around 7:30 p.m. when a rogue wave hit the boat. out of the 7 crew members on board, tragically only one managed to reach the surface. Reuben McDornan clung to the hull for around 3 hours before the boat sank. And then he was stranded in the open ocean, about 9 kilometres offshore, in waters known to be infested with tiger sharks. He could see lights on the land way off in the distance, so he began to swim towards them. But devastatingly, just after sunrise, the tide turned and began to take him back out to sea. After swimming for over 7 hours, but then starting to get dragged back out to sea, he felt like giving up. But he thought about seeing his wife again, and this gave him the strength to press on. And little did he know at the time, but this seemingly unfortunate turn of events was actually going to result in him being rescued. It brought him into the path of a sailing boat, the only boat out on the water that day due to the rough conditions. Mal and Linda Priday were on their catamaran almost 6 kilometres offshore when Linda heard a panicked cry for help. Then they saw Reuben barely keeping himself above the waves. Mal described the rescue as a miracle. He said the odds of them being in exactly the right spot, going exactly the right speed, was 1 in 10 million. He said if there was a 1 or 2 degree change in course, or if they were travelling at a different speed, they wouldn't have come across him. It was indeed a miraculous rescue. It was a miracle Reuben survived. If Mal and Linda Priday were just 1 or 2 degrees off the course they were on, or travelling at 1 or 2 knots faster or slower, Reuben McDornan would have almost certainly died, despite his best efforts to survive. In the end, humanly speaking, the Pridays were his only hope of being rescued. The Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope of being rescued from eternal death. He's the only one who can save us. No one else is qualified or able. Christ alone can save sinners from being lost forever. So we need to trust him in this. We need to trust him to save us. We need to cling to him and his cross as our only hope. We need to resolve to keep Christ crucified central. Now, Christ crucified is not only the way we're saved, it's also the way we live now as Christians. It's meant to be central in every aspect of our lives. Let's look at our text again. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul isn't just talking about salvation. He's talking about all of life. The whole Christian life is to be centered on Christ crucified. Paul explains this in more depth in Galatians 2:20. Let's have a look. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's saying not only was Christ crucified for him, but he also was crucified with Christ. Now, he doesn't mean this literally, of course, but what he's saying is that Jesus died for him and he's died for Jesus, although not in the same sense. Jesus died for Paul so he could be forgiven and know God forever. Paul responds to this amazing love by putting his trust in Jesus and dying to himself for Jesus. He lays down his life for Jesus in the sense that he stops living for himself, he dies to himself, and starts living for Jesus, the one who loved him and died on the cross for him. And in this way, Paul's whole life as a Christian was centered on Christ crucified. He was saved by Christ crucified. He lived each day by Christ crucified. He told others about Christ crucified. He was resolved to know nothing, not literally, but hyperbolically, nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was resolved to keep Christ crucified central in everything. And as followers of Jesus, we're called to do the same. Because this is what Jesus says to people who want to be his followers. Let's look at Luke 9:23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus says, whoever wants to follow him must deny themselves and take up their cross daily, die to themselves daily, be crucified to themselves daily, or they can't follow him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor and theologian who opposed the Nazi regime during World War II. On the 5th of April 1943, he was arrested and imprisoned. And on the 9th of April 1945, at the age of 39, he was executed by hanging at the direct orders of Adolf Hitler, just 1 month before Germany's surrender to the Allies. But Bonhoeffer has left a legacy. His most well-known book is called The Cost of Discipleship, and it's been described as a modern classic. The most famous sentence in this book is this: when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Let me read you a few sentences either side as well to give some more context to this famous quote. The cross is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering, which every man must experience, is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying of the old man, which is the result of his encounter with Christ. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. We give over our lives to death. Thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. It may be a death like that of the first disciples, who had to leave home and work in order to follow him. Or it may be a death like Luther's, who had to leave the monastery and go out into the world. But it is the same death every time. Death in Jesus Christ. The death of the old man at Christ's call. I wonder if this might have been Bonhoeffer's reflection on Jesus' words from Luke 9:23 that we looked at just before. Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must die to themselves. Bonhoeffer says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. That's the cost of following Jesus. Death. Dying to self and living for Christ, the one who died for us. And if our whole life as a Christian is meant to be one of dying to self and living for Christ, we can see how crucial it is to keep Christ crucified central. But how do we do this? How do we keep Christ crucified central? Well, first, we actually need to make the resolution. We need to make the decision and be determined by God's grace to keep Christ crucified central. This is what Paul did. Let's look at our text again. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul didn't say he was going to resolve to do this. He didn't say it was on his New Year's resolution list for next year. He'd already done it. He'd already made the resolution to keep Christ crucified central. Now, once we've resolved to do it, how do we actually keep Christ crucified central? Well, if you think I'm going to give you some mystical answer you've never heard before, I'm sorry to disappoint you. The answer I'm going to give you is actually the bread and butter stuff of the Christian life. The best way to keep Christ crucified central is to think about Christ and his cross. And probably the most important way for us to do this is by reading God's word. Because when we do that, we're listening to God speak to us. And it's God's word that tells us about Christ crucified. So if we're not reading the Bible every day, we've got Buckley's chance of keeping Christ crucified central every day. It's hard enough to keep Christ crucified central every day, even when we're reading God's word every day, due to our sinful nature, the temptations of the world, and the schemes of the devil. Another way to keep Christ crucified central is by praying. Prayer also helps us think about Christ and his cross. It helps us bring to mind what we've learned about Christ crucified from reading God's word. Because when we pray, we're talking to God through his Son and by his Spirit. So when we pray, we can thank God for sending his Son to die for us. We can thank God that we get to know him now and forever because of Christ crucified. We can praise God for every spiritual blessing we have in Christ because he endured the cross for us. Jonathan Edwards was an American pastor and theologian in the 18th century, regarded by many as the greatest theologian America has ever produced. In 1722, at the age of 19, he made the decision to be serious about living a God-centered life. And he did this by writing a list of 70 resolutions. Not seven, 70. He really was serious. If you've never read them, I'd encourage you to. You can find them by Googling Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. This is what Edwards wrote as the brief introduction to his resolutions. Being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will for Christ's sake. Remember to read over these resolutions once a week. Now, I'm not going to read all 70 to you, just one. The one that's most related to what we've been considering this morning. Edwards wrote, "Resolved to cast and venture my soul on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust and confide in him, and consecrate myself completely to him." Many years later, a young teenager named Deborah Hathaway wrote to Edwards, asking his advice on how to live the Christian life. He replied with a 19-point letter. If she was hoping for a quick and easy answer, she sure didn't get it. But near the end of the letter, Edwards wrote these beautiful words. "In all your course of life, walk with God and follow Christ as a little, poor, helpless child, taking hold of Christ's hand, keeping your eye on the mark of the wounds on his hand and side." Like Paul, Jonathan Edwards was resolved to keep Christ crucified central. And by God's grace, we need to do the same. Because this is the most important resolution we could ever make. Other resolutions are good and have their place. Resolutions like being more kind, more patient, more self-controlled. But keeping Christ crucified central far exceeds them all. Because Christ crucified is our only hope in this life and the life to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing mercy and grace that you've shown us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent him into this world to live a perfect life on our behalf, but all leading up to that day that he would suffer the agony of eternal judgment on our behalf, that he would bear our sins in his body on the cross. Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for his crucifixion, his death for us, that through it we have life, we have forgiveness. We have the wonderful hope of eternal life, of being in your very presence forever. Father, thank you for graciously revealing to us the reality that Christ crucified is our only hope now and forever. So, Father, please help us to trust him, as our only hope, and to live that way each day, to die to ourselves and live for Christ who died for us. Father, please enable us to take the cost of discipleship seriously, that we would know and understand that it costs us our life, that we can only follow Christ if we die to ourselves and live for him. And this is not loss. As Paul said in Philippians 3, it's gain. Everything else is loss. Knowing Christ Jesus our Lord is infinite gain. It's where eternal joy is found. Dying to ourselves and living for Christ, Father, is the way we can bring most glory to you in this world. It's the way we'll experience most joy in you. So, Father, please do these things in us by your Spirit and for your glory. And we pray these things through your Son. Amen.